I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right. Unbelievable, Guru. We've already got an hour in the books. The good news, 3 hours ahead.
And more good news. My brother-in-law, Will Owens, is listening to us, and he's having a good time.
And it's your daughter's birthday.
Milan, 12. Yeah.
12 years old.
And yours are how old?
They are 12 and 14. 13 Ooh. And 14, I'm sorry.
Wow.
Yeah. Got a couple of teenagers now.
Swimmers.
12 and 14. Oh, my. I'm so glad she's swimming right now because she'd be all over me. They're 16 months apart. So for part of the year, they're 1 year apart in age. And for another part of the year, they're 2 years apart in age. And don't think the older one doesn't just remind her every day, I'm 2 years older than you. I'm 2 years older than you. It's for like 6 months.
Do they
months.
Fight? Because that's where I'm going. I got a son and daughter, 13 and 12. So it's like.
Siblings are always going to fight, right?
Over anything.
They're always going to fight. Yeah. Just like you and I fight, and it's all in good love. You think Sonny needs to go, or you'd like to see Sonny move now. I'd like to see them not just hang on to him until the trade deadline. Not trade deadline, but winter meetings. I want them to hang on to Sonny for the long haul. If he is healthy, I think some stability at the top of the rotation is a good idea. I know some people out there probably disagree with me vehemently. Give us a call, 888-957-9570. If you want to hit us on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line, that's 95795. You can follow Guru on Twitter at Triple D Guru. You can follow me at Big Herb Sports. Okay, we've done the Sonny Gray back and forth. You want to see him moved, but you need a big package. I think everybody needs a big package for Sonny Gray, and that's probably a drop if you did some proper editing. Everybody needs a big package. But let's look around the league. There's still some big names out there. Justin Verlander is one
really
of them.
Is he really big? He's not Tom Hanks. He's not big. This guy
look
is.
Look at you. Nice pull.
Larry Holmes. This guy's. It's over for him.
Really?
But I guess it adds to the luster of the trading deadline. His best days are over. What am I missing about Verlander?
I don't
he
think
can
you're,
be had.
I don't think you're missing anything, but I also think that you're underestimating what he has left. I think he's one of those guys, the classic change of scenery guy. It might be invigorating, jumping to the best team in baseball. Look, going out to L.A., his gal, you know, Kate Upton.
Triple
look,
D.
I'm telling you, that's Triple D Kate. That should be her Twitter handle, Triple D Guru and Triple D Kate. But it just seems like a match made in heaven, doesn't it?
It does.
Forget about what he's going to provide on the mound. It just seems to make sense that he'd be out there.
And the name alone does, but I'm just sick of the Dodgers. Because aren't they just the rich family that just gets richer? Mm-hmm. They throw money at their problems and everything's fixed. I just get mad. The Dodgers represent what the Cowboys and the Yankees represent to me, that whatever problems you have, the law is always on your side in regard to you have enough money to go get whoever the hell you want.
But I don't begrudge those teams that because if you are a fan, no matter what team you're a fan of, wouldn't you want them to approach things the exact same way?
Right, but you can't, so you get jealous.
Right, but it cracks me up because George Steinbrenner was one of the most hated owners in baseball, in part because it's the Yankees, but in an even bigger part, because people accused him of trying to buy championships. That's what we want our owner to do, right?
Eddie
buy
D.
me a championship. Yeah. I don't care how you get it. Get me a title.
No, that's what you want. And, you know, right now the Dodgers are going for it, and we'll see what happens. But I think that's going to happen come Monday. I think he'll be in a Dodger uniform.
Plenty of other names out there in the trade conversations, the whispers, the rumors. I mean, with the explosion of media everywhere you go, it's a new, fresh rumor. You've got Yonder Alonso is still there.
He's slumping, though, Herbs.
I know he is, and it's driving his value down. And I contend that you're never going to be able to get a whole lot for Yonder Alonso anyway because he's never done this before. This is a guy in the midst of a career year, and as a GM, I'd always be slightly wary of that.
The JaVale McGee baseball version of you
perfect
did it
fit
one time, and I think GMs are not going to give up the farm.
Right.
Like, we got to see some more. And unfortunately, you know, he's not 21, but in baseball years, you know, Townie in, you don't like the fact that he's, you know, 30.
Yeah, he's 30, and you know what? I just think I do want, instead of, it's the exact opposite approach that I have with Sonny Gray. I really want Yonder Alonso moved before the trade deadline. And it's because there are youngsters that need time over there, and he's taking time from them. I don't see him being here over the long haul, so get rid of him as quickly as possible to plug the kids who you do think are going to be here for the long haul. Give them that run.
All right, and I got two categories. If you give, if you just give Yonder away, I'm not upset, as opposed to you thinking you're trading Sonny away mm-hmm. and not getting anything. Then I got a problem, because Sonny and Yonder are two different ball players, and I think Sonny's going to command more. You can get more if you know what you're doing, to where Yonder, hey, we love you. We may not get a king's ransom, but we just got to ship you to, for the sake of shipping you, for the young guys to go over there and take over first base.
Gotcha. He is the guru, Daryl Johnson. I'm Michael Urban. You can call me Herbs. Get in line to be heard. 888-957-9570. PenskeAutoSales.com. Text line 95795. From the 916. Keep Sonny! Exclamation point. Prove the commitment to changing the revolving door culture. It's an excellent point.
Boy,
they
is.
Have been saying that it's a dawn of a new day in Oakland. Hashtag rooted in Oakland. Okay, show me. Show me that you're rooted in Oakland. Sonny has been the leader of your staff, in part by default, because the staff has had a revolving door of their own. But look, if you're rooted in Oakland, then start dropping some roots right now.
Oh, RIP to Miss Daisy Johnson, my mom. She used to plant in her garden. And if you're talking about rooting, let's get some new plants to put in there, in that garden, and then they can grow. But my point being, what are you really going to get back for Sonny Gray? I'm watching this like a federal agent. Mm-hmm. When this waiver wire thing goes down, the bottom line, and the A's trade Sonny and they're pulling him from a start, you got to get something good to where A's fans can be like, you know what? These two guys, hopefully three, what have you, can be a part of our future. And then we can look at their background, their portfolio, and see, you know what? There is reason for hope. And who says the Dodgers want Verlander over Sonny? I would want Sonny over Verlander.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
But the Nationals.
So knowing your perspective on the Sonny situation, you want to see him move. You want to see him move before the deadline.
Unless, no, I'm with you and Townie. Unless you don't get a king's ransom, I'm okay with him still being here, being the focal part of your team. Because if he stays, he is the face of the franchise, and I'm okay with it.
Okay. So aside from Sonny and Yonder, there's a couple other lesser lights that may be the type of player that a contender, a wild card contender or division contender, may say, look, this isn't an earth-shattering move, but it's a complimentary player. I'm talking about Jed Lowrie, and I'm talking about Rajay Davis. You think there's any value for Rajay Davis? Look, the guy can run. I think the home run he hit in Game 7 in the World Series is going to be in the back of everybody's mind, although, look, clearly his best days are behind him too. But I think you're not going to get a haul for him, but I think there's some teams that should be interested in adding a guy like Rajay.
Yeah, I thought Rajay was going to retire at Indian when he hit that home run. Mm-hmm. I let that home run, that isolated moment, blind me to think that this guy had figured it out in Major League Baseball. Herbs, he has to get on base to run.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, he's not doing that at a great rate.
All right, here to help us out with further, deeper discussion of the Major League Baseball trade deadline. Remember, that's July 31st. That is Monday. Chris Cotillo is an MLB reporter / insider for SB Nation and site manager of an MLB Daily Dish. Chris, thank you for your time this morning. Settle this argument. Should or should not the A's move Sonny Gray?
You know, I would have said it was an 100% chance like 3 days ago that he was getting moved, and I still, I'm going to still go with the fact that they should. It seems like, you know, this might be some posturing on their end where they're talking about not wanting to move him for the pieces they're being offered, and that makes some sense, you know, to try to drive up the price. But he is the top guy out there. You know, Justin Verlander is not going to get moved. So it's really down to Sonny Gray and Yu Darvish as the two main guys. Darvish a rental. Gray you have for 2.5 years if you make the move. Obviously, we'll bring back the biggest haul, and a lot of teams are involved there. So I think this could just be some posturing, I'd say, if you're the A's. As tough as it is for a fan base that wants to keep guys, you know, I heard you guys talking about the rooted in Oakland thing, and it's tough to keep sending these guys out, but really it's the right move for the organization, especially with, you know, the lack of controllable starting pitching out there and what you can probably get back for them.
The voice you hear is that of Chris Cotillo. He is an MLB insider for SB Nation and the site manager for MLB Daily Dish. You can follow Chris on Twitter at Chris Cotillo. It's C-H-R-I-S-C-A-T-I-L-L-O. Chris, have you heard the latest? It just came across about a half an hour. USA Today is reporting that Sonny is going to be scratched from his start tomorrow. I've never heard something like that advanced, announced a day before it happens, which makes me a little bit more skeptical than I am of the typical deadline rumor. Your thoughts on that? Had you heard that story?
That's interesting. Obviously, we're seeing a lot of that kind of this time of year. You know, it's hug watch season on Twitter. So yesterday, the Phillies, you know, all day checking in with Phillies people, they were saying Jeremy Hellickson's going to start tonight. And then at game time, some wet conditions, they had Jake Thompson ready to start and sent him out to the bullpen and scratched Hellickson. And by the end of the game, they had a deal ready to send him to Baltimore. I think, you know, with a start so close to the deadline, you don't want to risk injury, especially for a guy that has had some injury issues in the past. And it makes some sense to me. So it's not a definite thing that he's going to be dealt still, but that shows that they're obviously seriously considering it.
Now, Chris, we all know in regard to the San Francisco Giants, this season has been a train wreck, and we all were eager and watching to see if Johnny Cueto was going to get traded. Now you're not hearing much. We know why, the blisters. Do you think the Giant brass behind closed doors is kind of happy that they may be able to fix this and be contenders next year, or maybe disappointed that they couldn't unload Cueto?
Yeah, there's a really interesting organization in my mind. You know, we've talked about this, but the Athletics are in the spot where they're a seller that has some good chips to move. We saw Madsen and Doolittle go. We'll see Gray maybe, and then Alonzo and some of those guys. But the Giants are a seller with not much. And we saw the Eduardo Nunez deal. He was by far the guy on that roster that made the most sense to move. And you've seen a lot of names thrown out there. Samardzija, Cueto, Brandon Belt, you know, even Denard Span in the last couple of days, but just not a lot of guys that are drawing a ton of interest based on contracts and some, and the supply is just kind of a perfect storm of bad things that have really hit the Giants on this trade market. So yeah, that does give them another chance to really contend with this group. You know, Samardzija and Cueto will probably be back next year if they don't find an offseason trade partner. Cueto's opt out complicates things a little bit, but you know, with what we've seen recently from him, he might return. Obviously, the core, you know, should be on a longer leash, in my opinion, than a lot of these cores around Major League Baseball. These are guys who have won World Series in San Francisco. They're guys that deserve to, you know, maybe a down year is not what we expected, but for me, the leash is longer just because of what they've brought. And they're not the type of guys that all of a sudden, you know, after all the success they've had, you just ship them out for whatever you can get at the trade deadline. They deserve, I think, better than that.
Kind enough to give us a little bit of his time on a Saturday is Chris Cotillo. He's an MLB insider for SB Nation. Chris, I'm sorry if I think I was told by my producer I misspelled your last name. Follow Chris on Twitter at C-H-R-I-S-C-O-T-I-L-L-O. Chris, Jed Lowrie is the type of guy that's not going to knock a fan base's socks off, but I do see a little bit of value in him for a contender that's looking for a little bit of depth, a little bit of versatility. Have you heard anything about Jed Lowrie, or is he kind of just buried in the avalanche of Sonny Gray and Yonder Alonso talk?
I think he's more buried in the avalanche of all the guys who are available, like in his mold. You know, the Eduardo Nunez was the best guy out there for a team looking for that. The Red Sox were really looking for that, obviously. It's, you know, when you see rumors that are, well, the Red Sox are prioritizing Nunez and you don't read any other teams in on him, and all of a sudden the deal actually happens, and it makes me think, you know, there probably wasn't that great of a market. And so I bet the same is kind of there for Jed Lowrie. The same is probably there for guys like Asdrubal Cabrera. There are teams that are still in that market. The Indians are one. The Blue Jays have been linked to Lowrie, but they don't really make sense now that they're a seller. I think the Indians are a fit at looking to add some depth. But, yeah, it's not, you know, the whole position player market, it's basically heading in with J.D. Martinez is going to really help a contender, and everybody else is just, you know, just added pieces. We've seen Frazier and Duda and Nunez and Howie Kendrick, but really not a lot else in terms of moves. Those are all like nice pieces that are complementary, and and Lowry is the same thing. I think, you know, there's not these impact bats, and so the focus is almost entirely on pitching this year, which we've seen more and more of over the last few years. And I think Lowrie falls victim to that, as well as Alonzo and some of those other guys.
Chris, I love the wild card because to me it represents hope, and a lot of teams are hanging on thinking they still are in it. Do you think it's hurt the trading deadline?
Yeah, definitely. It creates, you know, a lot less sellers. It makes things – it makes probably the prices for all these teams go up, because you look at the American League and a couple teams have fallen back here a little bit, but you have – you know, in the wild card mix, basically, let's say that Red Sox and Yankees are both in that. Red Sox, the Yankees, the Rays just from the East, three teams from the Central, and then the whole West basically is in that glut, other than we have Seattle, Texas, and the Angels right on that line of should we buy, should we sell? And these games right around the trade deadline really have a huge impact on the future of the franchise. So I think, you know, there's a lot of teams that are probably not going to do anything just because it's going to be so hard to make that decision of giving a prospect for a long shot. And then there's teams that are going to go for it and not get rewarded. You saw that right in Oakland a couple of years ago, and really the poster child for that not working out was that Samardzija and John Lester and Jason Hamill deal. Yeah. All of a sudden, Addison Russell is gone, you know, and Cespedes is gone, and they lose in the wild card game. It's really a tough spot for teams like, you know, the Mariners haven't been in the playoffs forever. They're 4.5 games back in the wild card, but they've been aggressive in making three or four trades. And as buyers, that might not work out, and all of a sudden they have a few prospects gone. So it makes the decisions a lot tougher just to get that second spot, and it creates a real tough, not that many sellers in a lot of ways that makes everything a little bit more boring in my mind.
Chris, I was having a terrific Saturday, and then you have to go bring up that deal from a couple of years ago, and the one time the A's, you know, really went after it, and it backfired in such a big way. Just a couple of more minutes with Chris Cotillo. Again, he's MLB insider for SB Nation. Chris, Justin Verlander is still out there. Yu Darvish is still out there. I mean, I can close my eyes and see Verlander in a Dodger uniform, and you know, with his squeeze with Kate Upton walking out of the clubhouse together after they're celebrating their division title. It seems like a match made in heaven, but Darvish, in my opinion, has a little bit more left in him. How much are you hearing about those two guys, and is Darvish's value, is it as much greater of Verlander's as I'm suspecting?
Yeah, Darvish is the top rental guy out there by far. Verlander, and John Heyman just reported this a little bit ago, that he's very unlikely to be traded before Monday, and it would take a miracle for a move to happen, which, you know, is unlikely, obviously, to happen before Monday. I think I've always thought that Verlander was by far the least likely of the three guys to move. Detroit was aggressively trying to move him, and, yeah, they had some interest. The Brewers, the Cubs, even the Dodgers were involved a little bit, and I agree the Dodgers would be a good fit. You know, it seemed to fit for a while, but there's just so many factors in trying to get that deal done. You have, you know, the money, trying to figure out how much money is involved versus how much prospect value is involved is really complicated. It's not, we like these players, are you willing to give them up for this guy? Yep, done deal. It's that, and then the whole no trade clause situation. So you'd have to get a deal done, you know, kind of far in advance. You can't get this done at 3:00 Eastern on Monday and have all that situated within an hour. Plus, there's going to be a lot of money changing hands, so you need commissioner's approval. There are just too many factors for me when these teams, especially the Dodgers, are working on so much. But the Tigers are trying to trade Justin Wilson. They've already traded J.D. Martinez. Jose Iglesias, Ian Kinsler could be on the board. I think it's too much. I think Verlander is a strong candidate to be dealt during the winter, but Darvish is the guy. You know, I think I was 50-50 on if he'd get traded before, and I think now the likelihood of him getting traded is right around where the likelihood of Sonny getting traded is. I'd probably put it in the 70% range. The favorite for Darvish is the Dodgers. It makes a lot of sense if they're willing to give up either Buehler or Verdugo, their top two prospects, it'll get done. I could see Texas pivoting to Calhoun or Alvarez, their 3 and 4 prospects, to try to get it done because they're just it seems just too perfect. You know, as you said, Verlander would be. I think it's Darvish, especially for a team that was, you know, 40 games over 500 and really, really in the window is wide open for them to win it. If you add Darvish to Kershaw and Alex Wood and Rich Hill and all the other options they have, I think that's really terrifying for other teams down the stretch.
Last question for you, Chris, and this is not trade deadline specific, but it is indirectly related. Word came out this week that Giants ownership has passed word down to the front office saying, look, we're not rebuilding. We expect to contend in 2018, whereas the A's have come out and said for the first time in recent memory that this is going to be a full-blown rebuild. I look at what Giants ownership is saying, and I'm thinking, how high are you guys? This, you're factoring way too much hope into it unless you have major acquisitions in mind for 2018. I don't see the talent level there to compete in 2018. Are they nuts?
It's very tough because that division is really tough. The Dodgers, it's not like, you know, their main stars are guys who are free agents after the year. The Dodgers are probably going to be around for a while, especially if you look at Seager and Bellinger, how long they'll be there. Arizona's, you know, their window's kind of closing with Pollock and Goldschmidt up in the next couple of years, but they'll be around. And the Rockies, for the most part, have their guys for a while. The Padres are on the rise, obviously. They have made a lot of deals. They have one of the top farm systems, and they're weirdly in on Sonny Gray and probably will start turning the corner where they're adding those types of pieces. So, yeah, it's really tough to see the Giants not rebuilding. But as I said, there's just not that much value. They have the Cueto opt-out really complicates things. There's no need for first base if they wanted to trade Belt. They're relievers. I guess Hunter Strickland's drawing some interest, but none of those guys really that strong. Samardzija doesn't want to waive his no-trade clause. He wants to stay. So it's like any potential – and Denard Span's not drawing any interest. So any potential guy you'd think, oh, he would make sense to trade, you're just not going to have a market for right now. And that really sets up that extremely impossible question over the winter where – you know, you still have all these pieces. Do you still look to trade them when you don't have that much value? Or could you look to put those guys, Crawford, maybe Posey, obviously not Posey, but Bumgarner, you know, on the market if you really want to do this rebuild? Mm. That might be what it takes. So they're just in a very, very tough position. And I know Bobby Evans and Brian Sabian don't want to do that. So it's you know, I think that's what happens when you win so often, that these types of years happen, and then you know, there might be a little bit of a lull here. We saw that. I'm here in Boston, and we saw that with the Red Sox. You know, they're either in last place or they win the World Series here in the last few years, and it's you just have to kind of appreciate that all the success those guys have brought, and I think respect them enough to not unload them for pennies on a dollar.
Yeah, Chris Cotillo is an MLB insider for SB Nation and site manager of at MLB Daily Dish. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Cotillo. The last name is Cotillo. Great stuff, Chris. Really appreciate your time on Saturday, and good luck getting through the chaos that's going to be the next few days.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Chris Cotillo. Guru, anything in particular? What jumped out at you for this?
The Verlander that – I guess he can be had after this deadline. Is that what I take from that?
Well, yeah, he's got big money. He's going to have to clear waivers. I mean, that's why the trade deadline, and I agree with you with the suggestion, the leading question that has the trade deadline been affected by the wild card? Yes, absolutely, it has. But it's also, you know, some people are a little bit confused about why somebody can still be acquired after right. that trade deadline. It's just a matter of, does he have to clear waivers or does he not? And that answer is largely based on what kind of coin they're making.
Now, also, too, what jumped out at me is you just made a great point in regard to if the Giants do hold on to Cueto, and we get a sense now that the front office might be thinking this is a fluke, could we see the Giants just bring the band back together at maybe a couple additions and go for it again next year?
They better get a left fielder if that's what they're planning on. But the reason I don't like that approach and the reason why I think the A's are – they're in a way better position right now than the Giants because they're being realistic about who and what they are, whereas the Giants are committing the cardinal sin of sports management at the highest level. You cannot factor – hope cannot be a big part of the equation. And I feel like the Giants saying we're going to contend in 2018, that means they're hoping this was a fluke for Crawford. They're hoping Brandon Belt finally delivers on the promise. They're hoping that the rotation stabilizes itself. They're hoping to get a left fielder or get something more out of the million left fielders they're trying. Way too much hope factored in there.
Yeah. And we saw it just, you know, Wild Coyote blew up in their face this season.
Wile E. Coyote. Yeah. I love that. He is Guru. I am Herbs. Plenty more baseball to get into. But, of course, the NBA is never too far from our mind. He felt like he got wronged. I see absolutely no problem with what happened. JaVale McGee, JaVale McGee, JaVale McGee. I'm Herbs. He's Guru. This is 95.7 The Game.
One odd left here. 5-0 A's. Swung on. High drive. Center field. Dave Henderson signaling. It's mine. It's mine. It is. And it's a no-hitter for Dave Stewart in the Sky Dome this June 29th, 1990. The fifth no-hitter in the history of the Oakland Athletics. And it comes 6 years and 9 months to the day since the last one pitched by Mike Warren in 1983.
Now back to Michael Urban and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
They just keep coming and coming and coming. The greatness that flowed out of Bill King was endless.
Holy, I mean, Toledo.
Unreal. You think his stepdaughter's going to drop that as she's accepting the Ford C.
There's
Frick
no
Award
doubt.
In Cooperstown?
No doubt.
She has to, right? If were Bill alive to accept this, and it stinks that he's not, obviously, but knowing Bill, I think he would have stayed away from Holy Toledo while he was up on the podium, because it would be too much. Here's my catchphrase. Check me out. How cool it was. I don't think he would. You feel me?
I got you. I feel you knocking. And also, too, we talk about.
You feel me knocking. Hey yeah. Now.
Yeah, that's Friday. A lot of people are giving Bill love. I wouldn't dare say he was better at one thing or the other, because we just talked about right. What we remembered him, you know, more for. But a lot of people remember that basketball calls.
Well, there's no question about
calls,
it.
I mean, the text line's blowing up.
Look, you're right. He's phenomenal at everything. By the way, speaking of the text line, you started your radio career as a caller with Pete Franklin, among other shows, and he's the one, the great Pete Franklin, who nicknamed you Guru. There were no text lines back then, but please tell me you wouldn't have been that guy who sends, and I'm not exaggerating, 35 texts in like a 3-minute span. We had somebody from the 408, 35 different texts. Over like a 3 to 5 minute span.
I want to say I wouldn't do it, but if I couldn't get in, I might just let him go.
And you know how I was able to count them? Because they're in all caps. So he's yelling at me 35 different times. Anyway, I appreciate the passion. That's what we're all about. I'm Herbs. He is Guru. Thank you for joining us. We've got a bunch more time and a bunch more to cover. Let's switch from baseball now over to basketball. The Warriors, no shock to anybody. They got their man. Wow. They always get their man. JaVale might not have been happy about the contract that he had to sign, but clearly he and his agent maybe overestimated their value out there in the rest of the NBA world. The rest of the NBA world recognized that, damn, the Warriors figured out the JaVale McGee puzzle. We know they know exactly how to get the most out of JaVale. So he signs. Basically what they did, Guru, is they kept every supremely key component, right? Every big-time component to their success. But they also replaced most of the complementary players and re-signed, I should say. The three guys that are new, who are replacing the only three guys out the door, the Warriors got better. Omri Caspi, Nick Young.
Keep going. Jordan Bell.
Those three guys, if you look at who they represent who? Matt Barnes, Ian Clark, and who's the other guy that I'm blanking on? Bottom line is, they got better, Guru. I am scared. Not scared to death. I'm throwing the white flag right now.
Damian Jones.
Right now. Well, he's not been replaced, has he? I mean, he's still on the roster.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, I hear you. He's going to get those minutes, right?
Exactly.
Had JaVale not come back, then Jones was going to get those minutes more than likely. But I didn't know it was possible for that team to get better, and yet they did.
Better, stronger, and also you and I had countless conversations about JaVale or Zaza. mm-hmm. they keep both.
When the offseason started, it wasn't unrealistic to assume or
both
see a future.
Both could be gone.
All three of them.
No,
Zaza, David West, and JaVale.
Trifecta.
I mean, I was among the people thinking, wow, they're going to have to. They had such a good combo with those three centers. They had every box checked. Now, you'd like all the box checked in one roster spot, but if it takes three, it takes three, and they had them all checked. So I thought they'd lose at least one, probably two, an outside chance of losing three. They brought them all back.
Yeah, and just kudos to Myers and company again.
Mm-hmm.
And
again.
Now I look at the Golden State Warriors, and I want to counsel, if I can, JaVale McGee. And I want to say, you know what, son? I know you wanted more money, but guess what? You're going to get another ring coming back. $2.1 million in the real world is a lot of money. But what you need to do is just show the NBA, and all eyes will be watching, that you can duplicate what you did. Maybe take it to another level,
yeah,
if you get the opportunity.
Expand on it a little
bit. And then you go cash in and get that money that was not behind window number one nor window number two, but it was behind window number three. But what blows me away real quick is the Warrior playing now will be the front row will be the stars. The future Hall of Famers.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second row will be the bench. And then the third row is going to be these young dogs.
Right.
They got guys among guys to teach these young dogs that are all going to contribute to get stronger. Just print the T-shirts and hats right now. There's no way in hell Kyrie in Cleveland or wherever he goes, he'll stay in Cleveland. That's where I think he's staying. We'll get to it. But this team is just more dominant, and it's scary. It's not fair.
Oh, hell yeah, it's fair.
I'm going Pleasanton.
For guys like us, it's fair.
I'm
because
going
look at what
it's
we sat
fair.
For the past, 25 like years. That. It's fair to us. It may not be fair to the rest of the league, but I'm fine with
you
it.
You going James Brown, the big payback? This
yeah,
is for
man.
All that downtime?
Absolutely. This is
crazy.
This is for me having to go.
That was my Rick Barry.
The only entertainment I could find at Warriors games during certain parts of my youth was heckling Brad Davis of the Dallas Mavericks. It's like,
are you
that's
going? Did you just drop a Brad Davis?
Brad Davis. You know, back in the day when they couldn't draw at Oracle, it wasn't Oracle yet. But when they couldn't draw, right? The people in charge were at least smart enough to understand that if we're on TV and the lower bowl isn't full, we look even worse than we are. So they told the ushers, if there's seats open in the lower bowl, then people have tickets from up above that, the nosebleeds. It's fine. Go ahead and let him go down. Me and my buddy, Barry Drake, this is when we're 14 or 15 years old. We get to a game. We had to be 16 years old because Barry was the first to drive, and we were just the two of us. Anyway, Barry drives us across the Bay Bridge. We get to what's now Roracle, and we have nosebleeds. We bought the cheapest tickets possible, but we see three courtside seats. I'm talking about your feet on the court, and they let us go sit in them. That's how bad the Warriors were. And we just identified Brad Davis, who had a terrible perm and just
I'm picturing him right
wasn't
now.
Much of a player, right? So we're ragging him the whole time. Our whole goal for the night is to get under his skin. And as luck would have it, a ball goes out of bounds about 4 feet away from us. And they have Brad Davis inbound it. And so we just took our ragging of him up to the next level. And right after he inbounds the pass, throws the inbound pass, he turns and says to Barry and I, shut the F up. And immediately our hands go
you
up
won.
Like touchdown. We won. We got under the skin of a professional athlete.
Herbs, that's my childhood. My friend Ronald Tillman, his auntie, real quick, worked at the Coliseum, would get us into all the Warrior games free. We'd catch the bar from Union City,
mm-hmm.
get off here in Oakland, go to the games free. Sneak in. Herbs, we used to go right down there to the open seats you speak of, and I honestly believe had we said, hey, we got our good sneakers, our tennis shoes, they would have put us in the game. It was that desolate in the Coliseum back in the day, and we used to see guys like Darnell Valentine from the Clippers with the big thighs,
and we would
just sit there like, maybe that'll be us someday. It wasn't, but we played on the same high school team. It's amazing where it's at now. And it's in the same building.
I know. It's phenomenal. I mean, I can't believe, and I say this to my daughters all the time.
Through puberty, Herbs. That didn't come out right.
Is that right?
Yeah, something happened with my throat. Go ahead.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I tell my daughters, you don't understand how special this is because a generation of kids Bay Area sports fans have grown up, and if you're 14, 15 years old right now, you finally saw the Raiders get back into the playoffs.
Yes,
they're one
did.
Of the bells of the ball right now in the NFL. The 49ers played in a Super Bowl not too long
yes,
ago,
they
three
did.
Consecutive NFC championships. The Warriors have won two titles in 3 years. The year they didn't get it, they set the all-time record for regular season wins and got to the seventh game of the finals. The A's, they made the playoffs three consecutive years, 12, 13, 14. I know they didn't get much out of it, but still, these kids have seen the A's go to the playoffs 3 years.
All right.
They've also seen three parades down Market Street. The Giants, I mean, the Sharks go to the Stanley Cup Finals. If you are a young Bay Area sports fan, you have no idea how good you've got it. I mean, you expect your team to be great.
And I hear older people like us get mad at the millennials or our kids like it's a bad thing. But
right.
We want our kids to have it better than us, right?
Absolutely. That's the whole point of parenting, right? That should be like
that's
goal number one.
But I hear so many of us get mad at them for what we had to endure.
I agree. Camp, NFL. We've been talking a lot about the NBA, a lot about the MLB trade deadline, but camps have just opened up. So if you feel like basketball was kind of stealing the NFL's thunder to a degree, thunder reclaimed. Because here in the Bay, you've got fascinating storylines developing with Oakland, with San Francisco. You've got new coach in San Francisco. You've got a new defensive coordinator, or at least help for the defensive coordinator in Oakland. What's the more fascinating camp? Again, Guru and I disagree on this. What does he think? What do I think? What do you think? On 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Michael Urban and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
I am Michael Urban, looking across the studio at Daryl Johnson. You can call me Herbs, you can call him Guru. Just call us, 888-957-9570. You can hit us on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line, 95795. Camp is open. The NFL is ready to regain its throne from the NBA, who's closing that attention gap very, very rapidly. I want to stick with the Raiders side of things for a couple of minutes here, Guru. Good news is that they got Conley signed. The bad news is we still don't know if he's ever going to play for the Raiders.
That's scary.
It's weird.
So really, the signing is not the good news because it's obvious news. It's about the police news.
Yeah, the legal stuff is
the legal.
It's completely.
And these are heavy charges. If they,
remember Reggie came out and said in explaining the draft pick, which a lot of people thought was a pretty risky move. Look, nobody questions Conley's talent,
and we all know
that they need help in the worst way at cornerback, and he's expected. This isn't a draft pick that they're looking at
Ohio State.
Exactly. Thank you very much. Although I'm not a big Ohio State fan because I'm a Michigan football guy.
God.
But they need help at the corners in the worst way. Smith last year underperformed. I expect him to get a little bit better. But the defense in general was certainly no great shakes. It was an issue. They got gashed a lot. I believe they almost lapped the field in terms of giving up plays of 20 yards or more. So Conley was brought in. This isn't a draft and develop guy. This isn't come in and have a veteran put him under his wing and show him the ropes, and in a year or two, we expect this guy to be a big-time contributor. No, they expect Conley, they need Conley to be a contributor right away. Look, you could be signed, you could be in camp, you could be dominating camp, but until that cloud of uncertainty goes away, there's no way you can be performing at peak performance, because anything that is not football is going to stop you from being your absolute best. And right now, it's not just football going through Mr. Conley's mind.
Yeah, and they got, here I go. Hang on, everybody. Buckle up. Melifonwu. They got him signed. So so that's good. You know, they're
say
drafting.
That again. No, just say it the way you said it. And I want you to say it three times fast because I think
Melifonwu,
it's funny.
Melifonwu.
Nice.
Is that on tape? But anyway, Herbs, this is scary to me. And people say, oh, you're scary by nature. I'm not, you know, but.
Are you naughty by nature?
I do like Tretch.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thank
OPP.
You. OPP.
I used to be down with OPP, but not now.
When I think of Naughty by Nature, who do you more closely associate with the Warriors, Ice Cube or Naughty by Nature? Or NWA? NWA used to rock a lot of Raider
gear.
Oh,
it's Ice Cube. Well, you know, now,
because
LA
he did
Raider.
The song,
it was
right?
LA Raider, yeah.
Yeah.
He got Greg Pop in the song.
Amari Cooper is, and I want to get into this a little bit.
Let's
I want to move
Jenny
over
Craig here.
To the offensive side of the ball. Yeah, let's hear Amari Cooper talking about his weight as he enters camp.
I am bigger than I have been, but I usually lose a couple pounds during camp. I always get bigger in the off season because I'm training. So hopefully it translates to the field.
What?
Am I nuts, Guru? Because this bothers me.
Right.
Because Amari Cooper is as good as he's been. I really did expect him to be a superstar already in this league. All the hype coming out, when he's coming out of college, you heard about him being by far the most, quote, NFL ready.
Went to
the
Bama.
The most polished guy. Perfect route runner. It's like plug and play and star. That's Amari Cooper. Now, he hasn't been bad. He hasn't been a disappointment.
But he hasn't given us sick Joe Montana. He's not given us 16.
Right. You haven't seen him go bananas and be somebody that defensive coordinators around the league really have to game plan against. I'm sure they pay some special attention to him, but it's not like, oh my God, we've got to stop Amari Cooper. So when I hear Amari Cooper comes into camp 7 pounds heavier than his playing weight, is it that big of a deal? No, probably not. Can you lose that 7 pounds pretty quickly, especially in the heat of Napa? Yes, you can. But I just, and I don't like using this phrase because it's new, but the optics are bad.
I love that phrase. That and arm talent. But anyway, that was bad because are you donut big? Are you pizza big?
Right, yeah, good point.
But then the fact to where he sounds undecisive about if I can lose it at all. So I was like, oh, no big deal. Now I'm a little, is that going to slow you down?
Right.
Is that going to put more pressure on your foot to where you had problems, to where you couldn't
finish
the games? I didn't like that. It didn't sound like a guy, and I know I may be blowing this out of proportion, it didn't sound like a guy that went Jerry Rice in the offseason.
Right.
Show up, look at me, look at my that sounded like, yeah, I'm a little big, and hopefully I'll lose a couple.
Right.
He sounded, and he is, but he sounded young, and after two off-seasons of playing Raider football and not being able to be, he's went milk carton a few times too, disappeared in games.
Absolutely, he did.
So, Herbs, I'm a little nervous. I didn't like that soundbite at
all.
So
I'm not overreacting.
No, not at all.
Yeah, I think, look, we were told Amari Cooper, again, was the most NFL ready, and not just physically, not just in terms of what he does on the football field, but he just seemed like the guy who's everything you want a star athlete to be. He's got a good head on his shoulders. He's articulate.
Yeah.
He's bright. He's accessible. I'm sorry, but that just doesn't seem too bright to not come in.
He's got a
in
good barber
optimal
too.
Condition.
Yeah, you're right, but I believe this should be the least of the Raider worries. Let's give this young man the benefit of the doubt, because you talked about it first. That defensive side of the ball, Urban, I'm petrified. And the Raiders went 12-4 with a horrible defense last year.
Right, and they brought in, if you're Ken Newton Jr., you're thinking, oh, well, first off, I thought Ken Norton Jr., if they were going to get rid of one of the coordinators, I thought he'd
now.
Be the guy. Instead of getting rid of him, they brought somebody in.
Another set of eyes.
Exactly,
big
to kind of look over him. And there's no way, no matter how much of a team guy you are, no matter how much of the more the merrier guy you are, it still has got to be a little bit unsettling for the coordinator, right? To have a new hire kind of brought in to help out. A lot of guys would just say, help out. I don't need your help.
I just, you got to bear with me and trust me. I never would go to Twitter while you just made an astute point. But Bo Spascoli just sent us a tweet of Brad Davis. And when I clicked on in the perm, the eyes look like our Alex, our guy here.
Is that right?
So when you click on, you can do that. You can do it now. I hope you can overlap. But, yeah, just keep that in mind. He looks like Alex to me in the face.
Okay.
All right. But the defense is really scaring me, and I think this is a big year for Ken Norton Jr. That's obvious.
Are you mad if you're Ken Norton Jr.?
I'd be
You're not going to tell anybody.
I'm upset.
Yeah?
But
you feel dissed?
I still have a job upset,
mm-hmm.
So now I can go make the calls, make this unit better than what it's been in a long time, and I can throw the middle finger to all the naysayers that thought we needed another coach in here.
Gotcha. Real quick, David in Union City has been holding for a long time. You got about 45 seconds, David. What do you got? You're on with Herbs and Guru.
Hey, what's up, Guru? This is David and my
dude. You're wasting time. Get to your point, my friend.
We just came from training camp for Raiders. We're just saying it was dope. It's good, and we appreciate everything you guys are doing. Guru, we went to Logan as well.
We're from Logan, not
from the Yoon.
Yeah,
you know what's up. But yeah, no, I mean, you guys were talking about Amari Cooper putting on weight, but he looks good. Carr looks good. He put on some weight.
All about muscle.
It's all muscle.
David, what's your biggest concern as it relates to the Oakland Raiders right now?
Defense.
Middle linebacker.
Yeah, I mean, are we bringing Perry Riley back or what? What we wanted to just say is that we'll take your answer off the line, but basically, what are you guys' predictions? Do you think we're going to hit 12-4 again?
Sure, you gave us 13 last year, right? So what are you giving us this year?
12-4.
Thank you for the phone call, guys. We will address it.
Yeah, yeah.
From the Union. So you've already said 12-4 for the Raiders. Yeah. They're going to match what they did last year.
Right.
Let's just hope that the Carr is available come playoff.
They said muscle. Did Carr put on some muscle?
I don't know.
The White Mamba. That's what I call
95.7, the game's going to be up in Napa, so we're going to have a lot of different sets of eyes up there, including one Greg Papa, so I'm pretty fired up about that.
Low Neal and Bonte.
Absolutely. Don't forget about the Niners. The Niners and their fan base certainly have not. Brian Hoyer. That's just how I feel. The more I say it, the less enthused I am about it. Guru feels a little bit differently. I'm Herbs. He's Guru. 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.